My name's Julia Carneiro. I'm Brazilian, born and bred in Rio de Janeiro. When I've been in Europe, some people have frowned when they hear where I'm from. How can you be Brazilian? You're white, they say. Why am I telling you this? Because this week, in the second part of this BBC World Service series, Being Brazilian, I'm looking at something that's at the core of Brazilian identity, race. Brazilians love their telenovelas, and Lado a Lado, recently broadcast here on our biggest TV network, Globo, was a landmark in our TV history.
My name is João Ximenes Braga. I'm a writer. Currently, I'm writing for TV for the last 10 years. My first telenovela won an International Emmy Award for Best Telenovela of 2013. I know it was the first time a black male was the first name on the credits.
Diga isso, Isabel. Você não sabe o que tinha por trás da máscara, podia ser coisa boa. Eu
gosto de tudo. The story was set in the early 20th century. We were talking about the first generation of black people in Brazil that was born outside of slavery. One of the main themes of the telenovela was how they were creating a culture that was the culture that ultimately defined Brazilian identity. That's one of the biggest ironies of Brazilian culture. Our national identity was formed by black culture, but it's still, we are a racist country.
That's even more ironic when you think Brazil is home to the world's largest black population outside of Africa. Brazil likes to portray itself as a rainbow nation and a place that has achieved a racial democracy. But as we'll hear, that claim is only skin deep.
No Mato Grosso do Sul é muito comum, né?
In Mato Grosso do Sul, the state where I come from, it's very common for the indigenous people to face prejudice.
Tonico Benites was born into a Guarani Kaiowá tribe in Mato Grosso do Sul, a state rife with land disputes between indigenous groups and landowners. Tonico claims his father was killed in fighting for land. When the Portuguese colonizers discovered Brazil 500 years ago, there were over 2 million natives living all over the country. Now the indigenous people make up just roughly 0.5% of the population, and many are subject to prejudice and discrimination.
The indigenous are considered worthless, were seen as inferior beings. One time I went to a packed restaurant, there was hardly anywhere to sit. Eventually I found a space, but as soon as I sat down, everyone on the table just got up and left. And at university, lectures in which are open to indigenous people are often boycotted. And if an indigenous person does start to talk or participate in lectures, lots of people get up and leave. Or they might even get booed. That has happened to me.
And it's still happening to people like Tonico and to others. I've come to meet Sheena and Sandro, a couple living in the Botafogo area of Rio de Janeiro.
My name is Sandro Augusto Santos Silva. I'm 33 years old. I was born and raised in São Paulo, Brazil. I'm a lawyer myself. My wife and I, we set up an audiovisual company.
I'm Sheena Rossiter. I'm 29 years old. I'm originally from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
We met in London. I was there because I decided to learn English, and then one of those trips to the bar and stuff, you know, and then I saw the lovely one around the corner.
We met at a Brazilian nightclub, as cliche as it sounds, and I saw this guy with amazing dimples across the dance floor, and yeah, I got started talking to him, and he just didn't really speak English, but I spoke Spanish, and my flatmate at the time spoke Portuguese, and yeah, he just kept calling and calling, and so I just kind of, yeah, let it be. And then over a year later, he texted me again and approached me, and I was just like, this guy again? I was like, you know, and I admired his determination, and so I thought, okay, yeah, let's meet up again. So we met up again, and then, you know, he looked even cuter, and he had like amazing afro hair. I was really taken aback by Sandra.
So I'm from Brazil, she's from Canada. She's white, very white, by the way. And I'm black. I think it is a good mix.
Many will deny that racism exists in Brazil. This may have to do with the fact that it's not always blatant, like the systematic prejudice described by Toniku. It can also take on a more insidious form. You sense it, even if it's unsaid. Mixed-race couples like Sandro and Sheena aren't that common in Brazil. So how do they find living here?
Sometimes people look at us differently. For example, we went to a very expensive restaurant in São Paulo. I got the vibe that they were thinking, like, I'm a footballer. You know, and she's a gringo, she's even could be Brazilian, but I couldn't be there if I wasn't a footballer because it's so expensive restaurant. And then everybody was looking at me like, oh, who's this guy? Because normally we don't see any black guy in this restaurant unless they like a musician or footballer. People look at us.
A lot of times people just don't think that we're together. You know, like we'll be waiting in line for something and somebody will help me and then I'll be like, oh, and they're like, oh, you're together. So that happens often.
Stuff still happen. It's quite difficult to explain. It's more about feeling than law.
We never had any segregation law like in the United States.
TV writer João Ximenes Braga.
We never had a Rosa Parks because we never needed one. There was never any law against saying that black people couldn't go to the same restaurant. Never was any law against interracial marriage. Racial relationships in Brazil were never as clear as they were in America. So it was also easier for this culture not to think that much about racism. With time, it kind of settled down with people not realizing that we were creating a racist society.
Brazil never had legislation which banned black people sharing public spaces with whites, like in the United States. We never had racist political parties, and there was no major civil rights movement here as there was in the US, maybe because there wasn't something overtly racist to fight back against. A lack of public discourse and even private discussion has meant that issues of race often fall below the radar.
The difference here is that prejudice is well concealed, is hypocritical.
Judge Ivone Ferreira Caetano was the first black female judge in Rio de Janeiro.
Here, racism isn't declared. And this makes some black people think that there is no racism, that everything is fine. And those who are not black-skinned, these people also think that everything is fine and that there is no racism.
In Brazil, talking about race is a taboo. People go around in circles to define someone's ethnic group. Even defining someone's color here is not that simple. Judge Caetano says many black people go to extraordinary lengths to avoid describing their true ethnicity.
The situation in Brazil is so serious that many black people don't say they're black. But there are studies indicating that 90% of the population has a mixed racial background or has black blood in their veins. The IBGE, Brazilian Institute of Geography and Statistics, collects these numbers and has indicated that 56% of Brazilians are black. It is practically a joke, because many describe themselves as azulzinhos, a little blue, moreninhos, a little tanned. Lots of inhos that actually only mask or indicate an embarrassment about belonging to that racial sector.
So how did we get here? Brazil has a shameful and distinctive racial history. It's estimated that we had between 8 and 10 million African slaves here, more than any other country in the world. It was also the last nation in the Western world to abolish slavery in 1888.
We had slaves since the beginning.
Social anthropologist and historian Roberto da Mata.
Every major Brazilian community had slaves. So slavery was universal in Brazil, was general in Brazil. In the United States, only the South had slaves. If you reach Chicago, you're free. By the middle of the 19th century, Rio had more slaves than Rome.
And within Brazil's slave society, complex social structures arose.
Slaves of the house obviously were superior to slaves of the fields. And slaves also had slaves. And this is something very interesting. Slaves could be freed by their masters, men and women, given to other people. And once they were free, if they did well in some profession, they could obviously buy or have a slave for themselves. There are some passages in Brazilian novelists, 19th century novelists, especially Machado de Assis, of this one of his heroes, his personages, who liberated a slave, and then 2 weeks later he passed over a street and the slave had a slave who was being whipped by him, who was a slave.
If you turn on the TV in Brazil, you won't see many black faces. Screenwriter João Ximenes Braga wanted to change this with Lado a Lado, a love story between a black couple set in the period shortly after slavery was abolished.
This period was never shown before in television, so it was one chance to get something new in television. The main problem we had is that a lot of people had trouble understanding what was a period piece with black people, and they were not slaves. Because it's like in Brazil, in the schools, you learn about black people until slavery. Then it's never mentioned again, until the abolition. Then it's never mentioned again.
Why is it so rare to have serious, high-quality programs dedicated to black people's history?
It's not only about television, it's about society. Brazilians are very good at hide the dust in the rug. Brazilians don't like to remember that we had slavery, don't like to discuss racism. We just smile and slide through it.
Why?
It's kind of crazy, and I really have no explanation. We are in a curious moment because we have a commission discussing the crimes of the military during the dictatorship that is recent. We had never had anything like that about slavery.
Have you seen more improvement in how television portrays the big segment of Afro-descendants in Brazil?
We still have a long way to go.
How long that takes depends on Brazil's willingness to face up and confront its own past. But for now, it seems that for many, it's too close to home.
We all have in Brazil domestic servants. Who are they? They are the ex-slaves.
Roberto da Mata.
The survivor of slavery in Brazil today is how labor is devalued. What we pay to domestic servants is ridiculous in Brazil. What you pay for manual labor, if you call somebody to fix your water system and so on, it's a ridiculous payment in comparing to other countries. So if you look at Brazilian society in general, it's a pyramid. The lower you get in the pyramid, the more people get to be dark. We're trying to change that. It's not easy. It's part of this legacy of slavery plus aristocracy that has never been, to my mind, completely discussed.
And that's partly because there's been no real drive to address the wrongs of the past or to change the status quo. But Brazil is trying to change. The government have introduced legislation establishing that universities reserve a certain percentage of their places for students of African or indigenous descent and from lower classes. Adopting a quota policy sparked huge controversy, but the program is going forward and will help multiply success stories like that of Tonico Benites. He only managed to pursue a master's degree thanks to a rare private scholarship. Now, he hopes many others from ethnic backgrounds will be able to follow his footsteps. This is a proud day for him at Rio Federal University, presenting his PhD thesis.
For me, it's a great joy to finally reveal the story of my people who have suffered all kinds of stigma and discrimination. I'm the first ever Guarani to receive a doctorate in Brazil. And for me, this means that the Guarani people are at last being represented and put on the map.
Thousands of people are flocking into a huge pavilion where phone booths look like bunches of grapes, strolling around food and drink stalls, and taking part in quirky activities such as pressing grapes with their feet and stripping corn on the cob. I came to check out this year's grape festival in the southern city of Caxias do Sul. It's a big deal in Brazil's wine-growing region, so much so that President Dilma Rousseff herself officially opened the festival.
O Brasil é país que se orgulha.
Brazil is a country that prides itself on having diverse ethnic and cultural diversity. This diversity makes us bigger and also makes us a happy people. We are building a nation that respects differences.
I was keen to find out more about the festival's theme of diversity. Giovanna Croza usually makes her living as a dentist, but this year she was crowned the Queen of the Grape Festival.
You are this year's queen and you're dressed appropriately. Can you please describe what you're wearing?
Yes, my long dress is red and I have much flowers, white, beautiful dress.
So could you tell me about this festival? Why there is this theme this year of diversity?
Okay, this festival is the second Big Mar festival in Rio Grande do Sul, in Brazil. And have much people here going to visit along.
Can I help?
Yes.
Okay, just trying to help. I'm Giovanna's father, okay. And this year, we are honoring the diversity of the city because it started as an Italian community. And today, Caxias is a city that welcomes almost everybody. In the Second World War, you know, the Italians were on the other side, okay? Because of that, the Italians here suffered a kind of discrimination.
How were they discriminated against?
To give an idea, they were forbidden to speak Italian. So the people could not speak the language. They could not really express, you know, the culture they had. And it was really a very tough period. So this year, the Grape Festival will então, celebrate the diversity that basically build up this town and build up Brazil.
When you speak about diversity, what's the challenge of really going against racism in the country as a whole?
Yeah, look, we cannot say racism in Brazil for one reason. If we take Brazil is a big country, if we go to the north, we have a lot of miscegenation, you know, with the black people, the white people, the Indians and so on. Brazil is really a country of diversity. But I don't say that we have racism in Brazil because Brazilian people is made of several different kind of, you know, ethnies, you know, the black people, the Europeans and so on.
So you don't believe there's racism in Brazil?
No, look, what I'm saying is that if we look Brazil, okay, Brazil is a country that was built with the diversity. It's not really a problem in the country.
Built on diversity is one way to put it, but some might be surprised to hear that coming from someone whose own community suffered prejudice, now denying that racism exists. It's a common theory here that it's not a matter of race. Prejudice towards poor and darker-skinned Brazilians is defined through the prism of class and economics. I wondered if Judge Caetano, back in Rio, agreed.
Na minha opinião, não. Eu entendi a pergunta.
In my opinion, I don't believe so. And this is because there is racial prejudice at almost all levels. But the way it manifests itself is different. On the other hand, where do you find less racial prejudice? In the group that is excluded from society. In that group, you almost don't see racial prejudice.
Those like Judge Caetano and Sandro, who were born into poverty but have fought their way out to successful careers, have suffered prejudice all along the way and still do so. But that's not necessarily the experience of others. Last week, we met Rodrigo, who works as a beach vendor. While he was taking a break from selling snacks on the sand under the hot sun, he flipped open his mobile phone to show me pictures of his wife in their kitchen at home. She's white, he's black.
I've never had any problems with race or suffered any racism. Not at work or with friends. Nothing.
Being a lawyer, I always, or almost even these days, almost get stopped at the door.
Sandro grew up in a shanty town, like Rodrigo, but he managed to get a law degree and leave the favela. Later, when he started to work in court, he was shocked to see where the prejudice could come from.
And I had to show my law ID. This guy, just behind me, just passed through, and he's a lawyer as well, but I am also a lawyer. Why you stopped me? I used to fight. Now I don't fight as hard anymore. I always be polite. Look, please. You asking me my law ID, okay. There you go. Can I go, please? Being black, we are poor. We don't have good education. We don't know how to talk. We don't speak English. We barely speak Portuguese. Most difficult was the guy who stopped you was from the same neighborhood where I was coming from. We know each other, but at the same time, instead of treating me well, they were treating me like really bad.
Was it then racism coming from other black people?
It's very interesting, and then it's very sensitive subject, but the answer is yes. They was kind of, you know, who are you? What are you doing here? If you're poor, you're black.
Progress to see more black people in positions of power remained slow. Ivone Ferreira Caetano became a judge in 1994. 20 years on, how many more black judges are there in Rio de Janeiro?
We have four other women now. Anyway, the point is that you won't even use all your 10 fingers if you count.
When do you think Brazil will be able to cast off the shackles of the past?
I think it will all depend on black people. Because while they don't have enough self-esteem, while they don't perceive themselves as equal to white people, things will continue to be the way they are. While a black person who has a lighter skin thinks he is better than a black person with darker skin, or while a person with a black ancestor who says he isn't black or doesn't have black blood or who hides this past, this is still a sign of shame. It will eventually get better, but only very, very slowly.
Brazil saw great advances in the past 20 years. It's now the world's sixth largest economy, about to host the World Cup. But it's still one of the most unequal countries in the world. And opportunities at birth are also unequal, depending on your skin color. That must change. Until then, it's bitterly ironic that a country built by slaves, and whose identity owes so much to African heritage, remains a place where racism is still rife. Brazil needs to confront its own past. Only then can it address the injustices of the present.